Welcome to the Bible in 260 podcast, the podcast that brings you through the entire Bible in 260 days. Have you ever wanted to read the whole Bible but struggled to do so? This podcast is meant to help you do it. With 5 15 to 20 minute episodes per week, you will hear the entire Bible read to you. There will also be occasional brief notes to help explain context, as well as a concluding question or thought to consider. So welcome to the Bible in 260 podcast, your journey through the Bible in 260 days. Welcome to episode 251. We are down to the final 10 episodes of this podcast. So excited and glad that you are making it all the way through to episode 251. And today in our episode, we'll be continuing in the book of Job. And the next friend of Job, Zophar, is going to come up and basically say to Job that you are actually getting less than you deserve, that you must have done some wicked and evil things, and God's actually going easy on you. And Job's reply is basically to say again that he doesn't know what he's done, but he does know that God is just and that God is fair. And at the same time, Job reveals just how painful things are. And yet in the middle of it all, he says these incredible words that even though the Lord slay him or kill him, yet he will keep his hope in God. And that is because Job knows what God is truly like. And he trusts God as a God of power and justice, but also a God of mercy and a God of love, which we see celebrated in Psalm 100. And then also in God's prevailing over evil, seen in Revelation 13. So let's jump in again, Job chapter 11. Then Zophar the Naamathite spoke up and said, "Should not this abundance of words be answered, or should this talkative man be vindicated? Should people remain silent at your idle talk, and should no one rebuke you when you mock? For you have said, 'My teaching is flawless, and I am pure in your sight.' But if only God would speak, if only he would open his lips against you and reveal to you the secrets of wisdom, for true wisdom has two sides, so that you would know that God has forgiven some of your sins. Can you discover the essence of God? Can you find out the perfection of the Almighty? It is higher than the heavens. What can you do? It is deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he comes by and confines you and convenes a court, then who can prevent him? For he knows deceitful men. When he sees evil, will he not consider it? But an empty man will become wise when a wild donkey's colt is born from a human being. As for you, if you prove faithful, and if you stretch out your hands toward him, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away, and do not let evil reside in your tents. For then you will lift up your face without blemish. You will be securely established and will not fear. For you will forget your trouble, you will remember it like water that has flowed by away. And life will be brighter than the noonday, though there be darkness, it will be like the morning. And you will become secure because there is hope, you will be protected and will take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will seek your favor. But the eyes of the wicked fail, and escape eludes them. Their only hope is to breathe their last." Then Job answered, "Without a doubt, you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. I also have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Who does not know such things as these? I am a laughingstock to my friends, I who called on God and whom he answered. A righteous and blameless man is a laughingstock. For calamity there is derision, according to the ideas of the fortunate, and a fate for those whose feet slip. But the tents of robbers are peaceful, and those who provoke God are confident, who carry their God in their hands. But now ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea declare to you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature, and the breath of all the human race. Does not the ear test words, and as the tongue tastes food? Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? With God are wisdom and power, counsel and understanding are his. If he tears down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a person, there is no escape. If he holds back the waters, then they dry up. If he releases them, they destroy the land. With him are strength and prudence. Both the one who goes astray and the one who misleads are his. He leads counselors away stripped and makes judges into fools. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds a loincloth around their waist.
He leads priests away stripped and overthrows the potentates. He deprives the trusted advisors of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on noblemen and disarms the powerful. He reveals the deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He extends the boundaries of nations and disperses them. He deprives the leaders of the earth of their understanding. He makes them wander in a trackless desert waste. They grope about in darkness without light. He makes them stagger like drunkards. Indeed, my eyes have seen all this. My ears have heard and understood it. What do you know? I also know. I am not inferior to you. But I wish to speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue my case with God. But you, however, are inventors of lies. All of you are worthless physicians. If only you would keep completely silent. For you, that would be wisdom. Listen now to my argument, and be attentive to my lips' contentions. Will you speak wickedly on God's behalf? Will you speak deceitfully for him? Will you show him partiality? Will you argue the case for God? Would it turn out well if he were to examine you? Or as one deceives a man, would you deceive him? He would certainly rebuke you if you secretly showed partiality. Would not his splendor terrify you and the fear he inspires fall on you? Your maxims are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Refrain from talking with me so that I may speak. Then let come to me what may. Why do I put myself in peril and take my life in my hands? Even if he slays me, I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Moreover, this will become my deliverance, for no godless person would come before him. Listen carefully to my words. Let your ears be attentive to my explanation. See now, I have prepared my case. I know that I am right. Who will contend with me? If anyone can, I will be silent and die. Only in two things spare me, O God, and then I will not hide from your face. Remove your hand far from me and stop making me afraid with your terror. Then call and I will answer, or I will speak and you will respond to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Show me my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy? Do you wish to torment a wind-blown leaf and chase after dry chaff? For you write down bitter things against me and cause me to inherit the sins of my youth. And you put my feet in the stocks and you watch all my movements. You put marks on the soles of my feet, so I waste away like something rotten, like a garment eaten by moths. Man, born of woman, lives but a few days, and they are full of trouble. He grows up like a flower and then withers away. He flees like a shadow and does not remain. Do you fix your eye on such a one? And do you bring me before you for judgment? Who can make a clean thing come from one unclean? No one. Since man's days are determined, the number of his months is under your control. You have set his limit, and he cannot pass it. Look away from him and let him desist until he fulfills his time like a hired man. But there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. Its new shoots will not fail. Although its roots may grow old in the ground and its stump begins to die in the soil, at the scent of water it will flourish. It put forth shoots like a new plant. But a man dies and is powerless. He expires. And where is he? As water disappears from the sea or a river drains away and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise. Until the heavens are no more, they will not wake nor arise from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol and conceal me till your anger has passed. Oh, that you would set me a time and then remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait until my release comes. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the creature you have made. Surely now you count my steps, then you would not mark my sin. My offenses would be sealed up in a bag. You would cover over my sin. But as a mountain falls away and crumbles, and as a rock will be removed from its place, as water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil, so you destroy man's hope. You overpower him once for all, and he departs. You change his appearance and send him away. If his sons are honored, he does not know it. If they are brought low, he does not see it. His flesh only has pain for him, and he mourns for himself. What a mixture of faith and sorrow we see in Job over and over again. He's trusting God still. He's admitting that he doesn't understand what he's done. He's asking God to tell him, but he's also saying that I'm going to keep hoping in you, God, because you're the only true source of hope. And I think that's such an amazing thing to see in the faith of Job as he trusts God through this painful time, even though he does not understand why it's happening specifically to him. And we see this trust in the character of God that leads to praise in Psalm 100, a psalm that praises God for who he is and his relationship to his people. So Psalm 100, a thanksgiving psalm. Shout out praises to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with joy. Enter his presence with joyful singing. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks. Praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures, and he is faithful through all generations. And it's that enduring love of God that we see in Psalm 100 that is one of the reasons that you can keep trusting and having your hope in God, even in the midst of painful, difficult times. And we also see that hope is found in God because God will be one who will bring judgment on the ultimate authorities in this world of evil, the devil and his followers, which are symbolically shown to be these beasts and these images of beings that are described here in Revelation 13 that God eventually will destroy. And so let's see what these images have to say and what they tell us about what these evil beasts are like, and also as it prepares us for the time when God will come and destroy them utterly. Revelation chapter 13. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horns were 10 diadem crowns, and on its heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast that I saw was like a leopard, but its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. The dragon gave the beast his power, his throne, and great authority to rule. One of the beast's heads appeared to have been killed, but the lethal wound had been healed, and the whole world followed the beast in amazement. They worshipped the dragon because he had given ruling authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast too, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to make war against him?" The beast was given a mouth speaking proud words and blasphemies, and he was permitted to exercise ruling authority for 42 months. So the beast opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme both his name and his dwelling place, that is, those who dwell in heaven. The beast was permitted to go to war against the saints and conquer them. He was given ruling authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And all those who live on the earth will worship the beast, everyone whose name has not been written since the foundation of the world in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb who was killed. If anyone has an ear, he had better listen. If anyone is meant for captivity, into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed by the sword, then by the sword he must be killed. This requires steadfast endurance and faith from the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up from the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he was speaking like a dragon. He exercised all the ruling authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and those who inhabit it worship the first beast, the one whose lethal wound had been healed. He performed momentous signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people. And by the signs he was permitted to perform on behalf of the beast, he deceived those who live on the earth. He told those who live on the earth to make an image to the beast who had been wounded by the sword but still lived. The second beast was empowered to give life to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and could cause all those who did not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He also caused everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to obtain a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Thus, no one was allowed to buy or sell things unless he bore the mark of the beast, that is, his name or his number. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has insight calculate the beast's number, for it is a man's number, and his number is 666. And while there's all kinds of controversy over what all the meaning of these things are, in the big picture, what's being made clear here is that there are enemies of God, people who are going against him, but also Satan and his followers who are exercising a certain degree of authority that they've been given for a short time, and in doing so, they are trying their best to dissuade and to lead people away from God as much as at all possible. And this is just revealing the battle that goes on and has been going on since man has fallen into sin, a battle that will continue to go on until the day when Jesus returns and makes a final end to Satan, the beast, and all his followers. And again, it's a warning that while there is power and authority that's seen sometimes on behalf of those who are evil and do injustice, that ultimately God does win, and that true hope is found only in him.
Thanks for listening to the Bible in 260 podcast. May what you have heard speak to your heart and mind today. The scriptures quoted are from the Net Bible, http://netbible.com, copyright 1996-2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC, all rights reserved. Our theme song for the podcast is The Call by Emily Ruth. You can find The Call and other music by Emily Ruth on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you find your music.